and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
Sonoma Sun FM presents. Live from Sonoma, California.
Which, of course, in German means a whale's vagina.
Tim Livingston.
Hey, Trigan. Big time Timmy Jim, what's up?
Pete Livingston. And Sam Livingston.
Yeah, Yosemite Sam! The roughest, toughest He-Man, stuffest hombre has ever crossed the Rio Grande.
Taking you into Monday, the only way they know how. With love.
I love you, Kick Puncher.
Los Livingston Brothers on Sonoma Sun FM, KSVY 91.3 Sonoma.
T2. In the air, but certainly not that deep. Sheerholtz, a great arm, tagging. And coming to the plate is Cousins, and he scores! He clobbers Posey. Cousins is safe, Posey is down, and the Marlins have the lead.
Cahill to Bieksa, takes the shot, blocked by Hoskins. Burrows is fresh, off the puck, loose to Edwards. Back in for Alex Burrows, it's up in the air, score! Puck looked like it was out of play, but it stayed in. Kevin Bieksa took the shot. Vancouver's won it in double overtime.
Down to three, down to two. Here's Rose, can he get it off? It is blocked, that will do it! The Miami Heat have come from behind to defeat the Chicago Bulls 83-80, and Miami is headed to the NBA Finals.
It is ugly up in here, that's all I gotta say.
It's getting ugly,
It was just... Oh, man,
my mic still smells like doo-doo.
Doo-doo. Mm. Doo-doo. Welcome to
Sam,
the show.
Come here,
welcome
my
to
mic.
The show.
Does it not have a little bit of funk?
I think that was you one time. I think you had a wet one when
yeah.
you were farting.
Sam might be right there. Sam might be right.
Sucked up the stank.
Welcome to the show, Tim, Pete, and Sammy, for your entertainment
Actually,
needs.
Smell
you might not smell it now.
No.
But later. Later. We are live from Sonoma, California. It is May 29th. We're already through May, gentlemen. Can you believe that almost, it's 5 months, 5 full months that we have done Los Livingston Brothers. 5 months.
Not
we're
a lot
still
of people
on the bleeping air.
Not a whole lot of people can.
I mean, let's think about this. Let's think of things that have gone on for 5 months. And have not done well. Most TV shows, okay?
Vast
majority of TV shows. Movies that come out in theaters and go direct to DVD.
Yeah. My first semester of junior college.
There you go. You know.
Academic probation. What's up? Holler
hey,
if you hear
you?
Me.
Yes, sir.
Holler.
But tonight, and you heard up top, this will be a sports-heavy show. But then again, when don't we do a sports-heavy show? But of course the big story up here in Northern California was the big play Wednesday night that unfortunately today led to probably the second worst piece of news outside of Tim Lincecum being hurt that the Giants could hear, and that is the words Buster Posey out for the season with that ankle and leg injury. The play you heard was local boy Scott Cousins, who I actually covered in college. A Giants fan basically his entire life growing up, and he is the deciding run, and he knocks over Buster Posey and breaks his leg and tears ligaments in his ankle, and the rehabilitation.
At least it's the ankle.
Yeah.
I mean, at least it's the ankle. If it was knee, I don't think he would be the same player that he could be.
Nonetheless, that type of rehabilitation will... take the rest of the year to heal, so we'll talk about that. Also, the Sharks, unfortunately, going down the night before on one of the flukiest goals you'll ever see in hockey, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Also, with the Heat and the Mavericks set for Tuesday night's Game 1 in the NBA Finals,
Rematch.
The rematch of the famous 06 finals where the Mavs held a 2-0 lead before giving up four straight after some pretty bad refereeing in Game 3.
It was fixed.
Then you had from there the comments earlier this week by one Scott Pippen regarding LeBron James and him possibly becoming better than Michael Jordan.
I say we start with that.
So here's what we're going to do.
Let's start with the Pippen comment.
We're going to start with the Pippen comment, but if you guys want to call in at all about any of this, 707-933-9133, we'll throw out three questions, okay? The two questions that we had up on the website regarding the Posey play were, is he going to come back this season? We already know the answer to that one. But the three questions we want to ask you tonight is, Do the Giants have a chance to make the postseason without Buster Posey? All right. The second question that we already have up on the website is, was the hit by Scott Cousins a clean play on Buster Posey? And the third one, and this will be very simple, does LeBron James have a chance to be better than Michael Jordan? And those are your three questions. Now, of course, you can bring up whatever else you want.
Well, didn't Pippen say he is better?
No, he says that he has a chance to be better than Jordan.
Ah.
So the question is, those are your three questions. Do the Giants have a chance of making the postseason without Buster Posey? Or will they? That's the question. Will they make the postseason without Buster Posey? The second question, was the hit on Buster by Scott Cousins a clean play or a dirty play? And then, does LeBron have a chance to be better than Michael Jordan? We'll take all those three questions, your answers, throughout the night, right here on Los Livingston Brothers, at least until the midnight hour. And as Pete talked about, we'll touch on the Scottie Pippen one first, because I think we can touch on that just a little bit before we move on to obviously the big one with Buster. It's really funny because there's that movie coming out with Cameron Diaz and Justin Timberlake, where Cameron Diaz is that really bad teacher. And in the trailer, there's that clip where Jason Segel...
Dangerous Minds.
No, thank you. Yes. Where Jason Segel is yelling at that kid.
The
and
Muppets.
Saying,
the new Muppets
no,
movie.
No, although that's an awesome trailer. I cannot wait for that. We'll talk about the movies, too.
Wait, what?
Yeah. We'll,
you don't know there's a new Muppets movie
Sam,
coming out?
We'll be talking about that. But the movie, I guess, Jason Segel's talking to this kid, and the kid is making the argument that LeBron is better than Jordan. Literally, we know that Pippen would come up and say that LeBron has a chance to be as good or better than Jordan. And that got the ire of just a couple of people. And I am an unabashed Michael Jordan fan. I mean, Pete knows this. He took Larry Bird when we were a kid. I was definitely a Michael Jordan fan. And for me, for someone like Scottie Pippen, who played with Jordan, who was the reason why Jordan was as good as he was. Phil Jackson mentioned this, that he put Jordan and Pippen across from each other in practice simply because he wanted the two to test each other every time. That's how they would get better.
And they did.
And they did. And he's going to sit there and say LeBron has a chance to be better than Jordan. LeBron, first off, doesn't have the killer instinct that Michael Jordan does.
He doesn't.
He never will, ever.
Sam, do you think LeBron James has a killer instinct of Michael Jordan?
Or is he a puppy, much like Los Livingston puppy?
Puppy.
Yeah, he's a puppy. But
I don't think he's quite there yet to be compared as, you know, possibly... You know, it's just, I think it's kind of ridiculous considering him to be possibly better, like, anytime soon.
Well, one thing to remember, and this is something that I think people are kind of forgetting, is that LeBron is only 27, and Jordan won his first title when he was 28. Right? It was 91. He was 28 years old when he won it. So... LeBron is on the brink of winning his first title at 27, although this is in his ninth year in the league, as opposed to when it was Jordan, it was his seventh.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. He's got a couple more years, and now that he's got Wade, this is the thing, though, and this is what's funny about Pippen's comment, is that people thought that if you wanted to throw the Jordan Pippen dynamic at the Wade LeBron tandem, LeBron was Pippen. It was Wade's team. This wasn't LeBron's team. So, personally, just to throw my two cents in, LeBron would have to win six titles, all right? He'd have to win six to enter the conversation. And then he would have to have all the other accolades that Jordan piled up. And he'd have to average 30 a game for his career, including his Wizards years, okay?
Does he have to win a dunk contest?
I think he should. I think he just needs to enter it. And I think him and Blake
Griffin. I don't
think
he can win a dunk contest. I don't think he is as great a dunker as people think that he is.
He is a powerful dunker. He is someone who can get up in the air and throw down on someone.
I saw, what was his name? Villanueva?
Yeah, Charlie Villanueva.
Got robbed in the high. I remember watching the McDonald's All-American High School Slam Dunk Competition. He got robbed when he went up against LeBron James in the finals. Because all LeBron, it's the same thing. LeBron still does the same stuff. All he does is he jumps as high as he can, tries to get his head above the rim, and, you know, he just cocks the ball out to the side and then smashes it in. Mm-hmm. And he did the exact same stuff like three times in a row in the high school American game, and they were just like, here you go.
He did it from just in front of the free throw line to win it or something like that. It's just like, you gotta be kidding me. But that's the thing. Jordan's accolades are so great that as long as we keep looking for the next Jordan, even Phil Jackson, okay? Phil Jackson coached the one player who wanted to be Jordan more than anyone else. And he himself said, we need to stop looking for the next Jordan. So, I mean, that's just strange to me that someone would continue to look for someone like Michael Jordan when it's obvious that because of the way the game was played at the time, because of the talent level in the league, Jordan was able to not only dominate, but he flat out obliterated anyone who tried to step up to his level. Everyone. Every major star of the 90s who decided he wanted to get in Jordan's face and try and make a name for himself, they all failed. All of them. And the only time that anyone got anything over on him was when he was retired and Hakeem got two rings. And I would have loved to see Hakeem and those Rockets teams play against Jordan's Bulls because I don't think it would have been a great series, but I think the dynamic of having a team with the greatest wing player to ever play the game and one of the most versatile and dominant post players to ever play the game go off against each other like that.
Yeah, the Dream was legit. He was no joke.
Dream shake. That's
fade
it.
Fade away.
You guys have any comments on the whole Jordan Pippen LeBron triangle of love?
The big thing that we were talking about, I was talking with some people, was again, it's almost like Kobe gets overshadowed again by this because everybody wanted.
Well, everyone wants LeBron to be Jordan.
Well, everybody wanted Kobe to be Jordan.
No. Not everyone wanted Kobe to be Jordan. You got to realize that because of the way Kobe came off, nobody really wanted him to be Jordan.
Except for Kobe. The Southern California, Greater Los Angeles area.
That's the thing. People was like, people wanted Kobe. No, Kobe wanted to be Jordan. Badly. But, that's for me, it's just like, come on, you guys. Stop looking for Jordan. If someone is going to be better than Jordan, he's going to arrive and he's not going to need the fanfare. That simple. So
it's just horrible because of how media is today, and people are following basketball players from the time they're like 12 years old.
Yeah, AAU.
And they're being praised on front. You know, they're on ESPN. They're on the prep websites.
Uh-huh.
And so these people are going. You're getting these LeBron James every year that are being literally fed all of this BS with the silver spoon.
Kyrie Irving this year.
That you are the greatest thing since Michael Jordan. You are the next Michael Jordan. And what happens is, you know, you have these people, they don't develop. They never develop into being Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it's just...
Because what you... I mean, if you really think about it, the psychology of somebody like Michael Jordan is borderline, you could say...
Psychotic.
Yeah.
He was.
I mean, he literally... Every little thing that happened to him as a kid growing up, as a young adult in college, he remembered every little thing and used it as fuel on all of his opponents. Everything from getting cut from his JV basketball team.
To him playing one-on-one with his brother and getting beat all the time.
I mean, he literally held on to all of those things and never let them go, not once in his life.
That's what made Reggie Miller great, too, because, you know, Cheryl was the greatest women's basketball player of all time. And Reggie, even though he was really good at UCLA, he was still getting beat by his sister.
Yeah. And you know? What you have with Jordan was it is you could say it's a disorder.
It is
this need to constantly compete.
Hell,
I don't know what you would call it.
His Hall of Fame speech, man.
Well, you just think about it. It's a guy.
By the way, we have drunk people across the street looking like they're having a little bit too good of a time. Look at this.
Slipper of the tongue.
Oh boy, do it, man, do it. She's got your jacket. Soon she'll have something else.
Heyo.
Yes. Go ahead.
But you had somebody who would, he was a compulsive gambler.
Yes, he was.
Okay, and he would bet on anything and everything. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows a story about how he would pay off the baggage people at the airports, and he would bet with the other players, hey, I bet you my bag comes off first, and he would pay off the people that worked at the airports and made sure that his bag came off first. I mean, that's a kind of little stupid stuff like that. He went out of his way to win, and it was like that with anything. And I don't get that. Do you get that from LeBron?
No, I
see LeBron. I just see somebody who wants to be everybody's best friend.
Yeah.
And if somebody doesn't like him, he cries about it. That's what I see. When I see LeBron James, that's what I get. If somebody's he can't understand why nobody wants, you know, why nobody wants him to have his own little segment on where he's going to sign when he's a free agent. Well, and everybody blows him up for that. And he's just like, I don't get it.
My whole issue with LeBron is that it seems like now that he's in the finals, he's almost like an I told you so mode. And that's not... as Bill Simmons would so eloquently put it, FU mode. He's not in FU mode. Jordan was FU mode 24/7. And LeBron right now is in, I want to make people forget about the decision. That's not FU mode. Because they had a great comeback against the Bulls in Game 5. I'm not going to lie. When I was watching the last few minutes of that game, like, they're not going to win this. And then they came back and won it. Gesundheit.
Thank you.
But, man, I couldn't believe, A, that the Heat choked like, or the Bulls choked like that. They choked like dogs. I mean, at home, game five, if you do elimination.
That, you're not the better team.
You're not.
A lot of people can say, oh, it's, what we were talking about last week. People like to bring in, they like to say, oh, they got lucky or something. It's like, no, if you're the better team, you don't let stuff like that happen. Yeah. Then again, I don't know. There are other things, and it's a whole conspiracy theory thing. People always talk about the referees, especially all the recent findings that they've had in past playoff series.
Yeah.
The big one being the Lakers and the Sacramento Kings when the Kings got jobbed out of a game five.
Mass Heat.
But you really do. You look at those things, and it's not too far off. But then again, you're losing a 20-something point lead, and you can't do that.
I don't know
if you can place a blame on the referees.
So we're going to definitely keep an eye on this over the next 2 weeks because they're going to play this first game on Tuesday, and we'll obviously keep an eye on it Tuesday, Thursday, and then probably Sundays they'll play game three in Miami. So keep an eye out for our coverage going forward. We'll move quickly to the Sharks. For those of you who did see Game 5, obviously that was a very, very strange ending to see the Canucks win like that at home. By the way, 707-933-9133, call in, talk about anything going on that we're talking about tonight, including the whole LeBron James thing and the Sharks or the Giants. We'll talk about Buster Posey here in a minute. But we have to talk about the Sharks just for a second. On probably the flukiest goal to ever end a playoff series. Absolutely fluky. and that goal where Kevin Bieksa is just out there waiting at the blue line, then all of a sudden a fluttering puck comes his way off of the Stauchion, I think is what it's called. I can't remember what that large plastic plate is that extends the glass up into the net once you get around the back side of the rink there. But it went right off of it, and it bounced right back to him. And he had a fluttering puck that went right past Niemi. Nobody saw it but him, and Vancouver moves on. Now, earlier in the game, and this will be talked about too, the Sharks were the sad beneficiaries of a very bad missed call by the referees, who missed a deflection on a puck that was sent around and out of the zone off of a Canucks shoulder and into the other zone, and icing was called when it shouldn't have been. And that led to the faceoff that led to the tying goal with 15 seconds to go, 17 seconds to go.
Which I watched.
That led to the overtime. So the Sharks get one game, and it was actually funny because Doug Wilson talked to Ralph Barbieri on the old Sports Leader a couple days ago, and he was not happy. In fact, he was clearing out his office at the time that Ralph called him and did this interview, and you could tell that the last thing he wanted to do was talk to someone. And that's actually pretty cool that your GM takes it that bad. He did everything he could to put a team together that he thought was going to be a contender, and they were a contender, but they ultimately fell short of their goal of playing in the Stanley Cup Finals. But I kind of like the fact that Doug Wilson is basically not happy with the way things are and that he wants to change things. That's a good thing.
Well, you can't be happy when your MO worldwide is suddenly you're the team that's going to choke in the playoffs. But everywhere you go, everybody just, they just, well, you know, yeah. Sharks are going to choke in the playoffs.
By the
that's
way,
what they do best.
They are now, by winning percentage, the best team to not make a Stanley Cup final.
Oh, yeah, no, they're year in and year out, arguably the best. We're one of the best teams in the NHL, but they just never – something, I don't know, something happened.
The main issue is that it seems like the team has made small changes but not wholesale changes. And when you see a team like the Canucks, a team that was quicker, I think has a lot more skill handling the puck. Joe Thornton had an incredible playoffs. This was the year that Joe Thornton proved that he was not this guy who was going to sit back and do nothing. Unfortunately, you can't say the same about Patrick Marleau, who had a really bad playoffs. Danny Heatley, who had a horrible conference final. But you had Couture, you had Pavelski, you had Klo, you had these guys step up in the absence of the highly paid superstars. Antti Niemi, I thought, had a great, great playoff. He had a couple of games that were bad, but a lot of that was mostly due to the defense in front of him and not because he let a soft goal get by him. So very interesting to see where the Sharks go from here, because they're going to keep Joe Thornton and this core together. Then they need to make a couple of changes, a couple of tweaks, in order to get a little bit better, I think, end-to-end. Because there are some times where Vancouver just went right by him and they couldn't do a thing about it. So very interested to see where the Sharks go from here. But now we're going to go to the biggest play of the year for the Giants, and unfortunately it's in a bad situation. We played it earlier, the Buster Posey play at home, Scott Cousins running him over for the game-winning run in Florida's 7-6 win on Wednesday night, a 12-inning game. Posey ended up breaking a bone in his leg and tearing ligaments in his ankle, and was announced today that after surgery, he will be out the rest of the year for the healing and rehabilitation process. So the Giants lose their cleanup hitter, obviously their offensive leader, and one of their leaders not only in the clubhouse but with the pitching staff. And the big question as soon as the play happened was it a dirty hit by Cousins? And I posted an article by one of the great minds in baseball, Clay Davenport, who's done a lot of things with advanced baseball statistics, including his Davenport translations, which make minor leaguers appear in the eyes of major leaguers so that you can tell which ones have a chance to be good at the major league level. And he basically brought up that the play itself is dirty, but within the confines of the rules, it's not a dirty play. And we had some pretty good feedback from people throughout the week when we posed the question. And a great majority, I think actually all of them, said that it was a clean play. And after reading that article from Davenport and thinking about the play myself, and you guys will obviously have your chance here, I just can't help but think it is in its own way a dirty play. But the rules of baseball say that it's not, which is sad, because now after Carlos Santana, this happened to him last year, he had a complete knee basically gone, and he was out the rest of the year after a great start to his rookie year. The Giants lose their most important offensive player, and to an injury that really could come to haunt him as he plays the rest of his career at a premium defensive position. It just kind of sucks. You know, I don't know what else I can say about it. It's just kind of sad.
Sam?
Your thoughts?
None.
What are you thinking about over there?
We've silenced the room here. I've talked too much.
What's been going through your head?
Nothing.
I think Sam's thinking about those video game.
Into the mic.
Make out with the mic, Sam.
There we go.
But, so if you guys want to call in, 707-933-9133, we can talk about the play. We can talk about, you know, anything that's going on in the sporting world. But just a kind of a really interesting dichotomy of the play itself and the rules of baseball. So it's kind of a tough go of it for the Giants right now, who have to figure out what they want to do with their offense and losing their best player for the rest of the season. So as we move on, we're about halfway through the show. Pete had a pretty cool question for us, and then for all you guys out there too, who are listening to us via syndication on the Snow Sun Networks. We were discussing this week. Pete finished the Metal Gear Solid franchise this week, and he finished up the fourth game of the series. And it came to him. He was like, "Well, what are your three favorite franchises of all time?" And I guess my one question is, just put this out there, is Super Mario Galaxy and, like, Super Mario World considered a franchise, or are they two different things?
No, it's a Mario game.
Okay, so Mario. So Mario. There you go. So we had to pick our three favorite franchises. And since this is Pete's boy, you can lead off, buddy. Right now, lead off. Ding.
If I'm going to go, Metal Gear.
Okay.
Then I will go Street Fighter.
Okay.
Man, for my third. Damn, that's tough.
It is tough.
Because I'm only going to, that's why I want to do three, is because you really got to think about it. If you just go like five or ten,
that's why I like three. That's why I like three.
And then hell, maybe I might have to go with Mario.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that, well, or
Mario's everywhere, you know. He has like a bit of everything.
And I go with Metal Gear because it's so different. I talked about it. It's a game that rewards stealth and non-confrontation in battle.
Yeah, there's people who like beat Metal Gear Solid without firing more than like 20 shots in a game.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, there's boss battles where you have to
kill. Yeah, but outside of that,
but that's what I like about it. And now that I finally played through the whole thing, the whole story actually makes sense. Like, I was able to they tied it together at the end, and I like that. But yeah, that's one of the things. It's so creative. It's not just about running around and blowing people to bits and blowing things up. And you can't. I mean, if you want to, you can do that. You won't be as successful, and you won't really get a full grasp of the game and what it's supposed to do, that because it's so geared towards sneaking and being undetected. I just think that's really cool. And it's the storylines, which at first were almost like humorous, kind of like, oh, okay, so this stuff will never happen. And then next thing you know, there's like developments in rail guns that are undetectable that can fire nuclear weapons. And they have the whole thing about like the Patriots and people running governments. And kind of like the more you go along, the more this stuff kind of surfaces in our everyday culture. And they're kind of ahead of their time when it comes with storytelling. Like you see a lot of the stuff kind of begin to formulate a few years later. I remember my head almost exploded when I was watching the History Channel and they were doing something on like weapons, and they were talking about how they had just like developed a railgun that can fire like nuclear warheads and be undetected. And I was like, oh my God, this is in Metal Gear 1 from like 1996. I remember playing this when I was like,
someone played Metal Gear. It's like, we got to do this in real life.
Yeah, no, it's like I'm almost expecting people to have like mechs, giant mechanical robots that.
That was a cool part. I haven't played through all of Metal Gear Solid 4, but that part was cool. That part was badass.
Which part?
I like the beginning.
Oh yeah,
that was the part that was like when I first played that, because I had gotten just through the first mission, then I put it down for whatever reason, and that beginning was like, wow.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It was a great one. That was a good one. So.
And so the other two on my list, I had
Street Fighter, and then you went with Mario.
Yeah, Street Fighter. I mean, it's
Street Fighter.
I talk enough about it. I don't need to.
It's sexy.
Really dwell into it. It's just a great game. It is a great sexy game. Great franchise.
Sam,
you go next to me. I only just got the sprung up on me on the way over here.
Well, while you do that, we actually have a phone call, so they might have their input here. Caller, you're on the air.
The Brothers Livingston, what's good?
What's good, my friend?
What's going on?
Sitting here, I was trying to get you guys to give me a talk about a topic, but you guys never hit me back with a topic, so, yeah. I'm going to give you guys a chance to give me a topic to talk about, because I ain't got nothing to do.
We will go with... Let's go with... Right now we're talking about our three favorite gaming franchises. We have that, and then we were just talking about the recent NBA playoffs.
Okay, well, yeah. I could take it in order. Three favorite gaming franchises I'd have to go with in no particular order. I'd say Silent Hill.
Ooh.
What else would I say? Castlevania.
Oh, that's a good one. Good call.
That's a real good one.
Good call.
I'd have to say the old Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, no, those are good. That's solid.
Yeah.
I never really dove into the Silent Hill games. I know everybody really liked them.
Yeah.
Well, you better leap in.
But Castlevania for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably one of the most solid games you'll probably. I mean, they're all good.
Yeah.
Pretty. I mean, they're all good.
Like, I don't even understand how a video game can make you more scared than a movie, but they did it.
So. There you go.
Yeah, Symphony of the Night was my favorite one.
Yeah, that was incredible.
The one on the PlayStation, that was really good.
Super Metroid Castlevania, yeah.
No, that was a really good franchise.
It was a great game.
And then Ninja Gaiden was, it's still known as like one of the hardest games you're ever going to play.
Not only because it's hard, really, more so because that was the first game with an actual sort of a comic bookish storyline that you could just sit there and you could watch between levels. You could sit there and have that good cinematic feel and then go to the next level and just try to beat the hell out that level before it beats the hell out of you, just so you can see the next cinematic sequence, you know?
Strider, hear you.
That's right. Yeah. They even had that in, even like the old regular Nintendo, they had
that. They did.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not talking about the new. The new stuff is just a little out of hand for me. I haven't even touched them, quite frankly, but yeah, the older ones, that's where it's at. And they will drive you nuts. You want to bite the controller in half.
Yes. No,
speak to my brother. He will tell you.
Those are the original games that really made you want to throw your controller.
Oh, yes.
Against the wall. But those are solid. Those are very solid. And do you have any thoughts on the current NBA playoffs, if you have been following them?
Oh, man. I kind of sort of stopped after my Lakers tanked, but, you know, that's what happens when you have Powell worrying about nonsense.
Yeah.
And, Well, as I just hope Dallas takes it, honestly, because the way I see it, they beat us. Well, not you guys, but my team. They beat my team, and the way I see it, I would like the person that beat my team to go all the way to the end, so that way it doesn't feel like a fluke, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, they're surprising a lot of people, Dallas.
Well, Dirk is in the middle of a leap. I mean, I said that Dirk was making the leap when he had that 48-point game, but he was pretty masterful in the Lakers series, and he once again was masterful in the Oklahoma City series. So I know that the Heat are going to try and double team him at every possible second, but they don't have a single guy who can guard Dirk Nowitzki.
And well, they could double team him all they want, but then they're going to have to worry about Jason Kidd running through lanes and passing the ball here and
there
and
everywhere. That's
very true.
They
Jason,
they have
Terry,
3-point threats everywhere.
So. Peja.
Yeah. That's a team they built themselves up really good. And I was surprised. Yeah, I really thought that I did think that Dirk was going to be a liability on defense, especially against the Lakers, but he did good.
Yeah.
Like that was, I mean, I can't just say they surprised me, but I guarantee you they surprised a lot of people. And
yeah, he made me break the remote almost a few times. Yeah.
Now,
did good.
Now, you heard about what Scottie Pippen said this week, that he thinks that LeBron has a chance to go down as a better player than Jordan. Has a chance. Is there? Do you see any? Do you see? Well, do you see any truth in that?
Well, barring injury, yeah, he has a chance. He has a chance, but that's just saying he has a chance. I don't say he will. I don't think he will, but he has a chance. Considering his pedigree of a player, you know, he's a really, really damn good player. He's pretty clutch. He doesn't have the eye of the tiger like a Kobe or an older Ray Allen or anything like that. But he's a higher echelon player, that's for sure.
Yeah. I agree 100% with that, and that you would be stupid to say that LeBron James is not one of the best players right now in the NBA. But before you can even talk about him being on Jordan's level, he's not even, at the moment, he's not even sniffing Kobe Bryant's level.
No, that's the thing. Kobe right now has established himself as one of the 10 greatest players of all time.
And he's still playing.
And he's still playing, and he still has an outside shot at matching Jordan if the Lakers can get something together.
Sense, yeah, he also has a chance. Even though he is my guy, he also has a chance of screwing it all up because he's still playing.
Yeah, that's true. But thanks for the call, man. You brought it strong tonight.
Yeah, no problem, guys. I'll probably hit you guys up another time.
Sounds good, man.
All right.
Appreciate it. So that was a good call, first off, with the franchises. I like that. Those were three franchises that we didn't really think about.
Yeah, definitely threw a curveball in at me. Silent Hill. I mean, it's a big franchise. They even had
it
movies.
They have four games made for Silent Hill.
Movies made.
707-933-9133 if you want to get in on this action.
Did you do your?
I'm going to do mine.
Got that funk.
Mine's okay. My first one. Well, I mean, Sam and I think are going to have one that are the same, and it's the Mother series. The Earthbound and Mother 3 are two of my favorite games of all time, and I still can't get Mother 3 out of my head after my one playthrough for it, and I haven't gone back and played it again yet.
Me neither.
But the one time I played through it, it was one of the more rewarding experiences I've had playing a video game, so that's really cool. My second one, I'm going to go with with Bonk.
Ooh,
I mean,
very nice.
Because, you know, Pete and me, our first video game system, our first console system growing up was a TurboGrafx-16.
If you don't count that Atari that was given.
That Atari that we had for like a year before it broke. But we had that, and, you know, we started running as many games as we could. And the Bonk games were always at the top of our list. And it really is a great, great franchise. And it's very underrated. And as far as platformers go, a lot of people don't put it up there with Sonic or Mario. But to me, it was one of the more fun franchises I've played. So I'm going to have Bonk. So I have Bonk and I have the Mother series. And the other, I have two that I'm trying to kind of come to grips with.
Oh, come
here,
on.
All right. But I'm going to go with Final Fantasy because
I thought about
just off the top of my head, 6, 7, 9,
tactics.
Tactics, if you want to throw that in there. I'll throw in 10 just because even though it was a very linear game, it was a very awesome game in a lot of aspects. The sphere grid was one of the coolest things ever. And Arn was awesome. Awesome,
I was just
awesome
thinking
character.
About him.
Yeah. Because the other one, there are two others actually I was thinking of, was the Dragon Quest series, which I've picked up in the last couple of years and really started to enjoy, even though it's really simplistic. And then Kingdom Hearts. Two games, but very, very awesome series. And Kingdom Hearts 2, I just did a playthrough again of, and I love
it. You
got
to pick three. And now you're just naming off.
Well, those my three are named, but those are the other two that I thought about. So those are kind of like my honorable mentions. So Mother, Sam. Bonk, and the Final Fantasy series. Those are my three top ones.
Okay.
So up to you, Sammy.
Well, not that this is like my absolute final three that I would pick, but just like off the top of my head, yeah, there's Earthbound.
So the Mother series, yeah.
And then I only just started playing these again like we used to way back then on our old computers, but Quest for Glory, if anyone knows that one.
Sam just started playing Heroes Quest, Pete.
Very nice. So very you nice. Want to be a hero?
Yes.
I do.
So you want to be a hero? Yes.
I'm dreaming in my head.
Yeah.
Very and, nice. Well, three, yeah, there's like the Konami games that you mentioned. There's like Metal Gear Solid, and then there was Castlevania that was just mentioned. It's hard to pick the third one, though, for some reason.
You can just go with one, though, just for the heck of it.
Oh, I'll go with Metroid.
See, I knew you were going to go there.
I knew somebody was going to go with Metroid.
I was like, if anyone's going to come with Metroid, it'd be Sam.
I just thought of that.
That's
too.
A great series. A couple other ones that I'm surprised didn't get said, Super Smash Brothers. I'm a huge fan of that. Just absolutely, absolutely huge fan. And then, Pete, I'm surprised you didn't say King of Fighters.
I never really got too much into the King of Fighters.
Did I just hear a cat? Oh, it's more drunk people.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because, you know, obviously Memorial Day weekend, be safe out there. Be very safe out there, obviously. But the number of drunk people walking down West Napa Street right now, very funny. Obviously, there was some type of wedding that went on because there are a lot of people dressed up very nicely walking back and forth.
No, I think they're just tourists.
I don't know, man. Tourists don't dress up that nice around here. But nonetheless, fun times.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Yeah, you can use that Sex Panther. Do it well. So,
gots to get down.
Breaking news, by the way. This just in to Los Livingston Brothers. The Ultimate Fighting Game Tournament 7 results have been updated. And Pete's got them for us. So, Pete, what do you
we
got?
We got them.
We got them.
The results of the Ultimate Fighting Game, what is it, tournament?
Yeah, UFG T7.
Here we go. Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Evil genius Justin Wong using She-Hulk, Wolverine, and Akuma.
God-tier Wolverine! Woo!
That's right. Super Street Fighter 4, you have evil genius Justin Wong playing Rufus and Adon. A lot of people still think that's funny because he got bounced last year by the Adon player Gamer B from Taiwan, who showed up and just dominated people. Mortal Kombat 9, you had Perfect Legend taking it with Kung Lao, and top three was Justin Wong.
So the best, obviously the best player in America right now. I'm pretty sure, and obviously someone out there can correct us, but I'm pretty sure that winners from UFG T7 get automatic invites to Super Battle Opera. I'm pretty sure that's this tournament. It might be another tournament in another couple of weeks, but I thought that this was that tournament. So,
oh, I don't know. I think they tend to have SBO qualifiers. Mm-hmm. They could. I don't know.
I thought that this was some type of automatic qualifier for whatever reason. I thought I read that in my RSS feed, but I might be wrong there. So
Alan Zia, our previous caller, says that he feels better now. He thanked us.
Needed to vent.
And he gave us my favorite smiley emoticon.
Gibby, his brother, coming with Half-Life, Metal Gear, and Barbie. Yep. I'm going to counter with Barbie. I'm going to counter Barbie with Lego Star Wars.
There. Which is a great game.
It is. It's a great game.
I laughed at them. I thought they were stupid.
Awesome.
But then again, when you're in college and you're drunk at the time.
Yes. We don't condone
Lego anything is fun.
Lego, you have Lego Star Wars, you have the Lego Indiana Jones, and now you have the awesome Lego Harry Potter series. So we're going to talk movies because who brought up what? What was I going to say? Someone brought up a movie. I can't remember. Pete, did you bring up a movie? You brought up something. Regarding a movie. At the beginning of the show. If someone can rewind this show and tell me
who we're... No, you were talking about some Cameron Diaz...
Oh, yeah. The summer movies. And then you said something and we'll talk about... We were going to talk about something. Oh, yeah, the Muppets! Yes. Because the Muppets were out.
Can we talk about the Muppets while I play our slow jam of the week?
Yeah, Pete can find our slow jam, but
yeah, feel free to talk about the Muppets.
It's an awesome concept. They're doing these fake trailers for it, like it's a romantic comedy with Amy Adams and Jason Segel, who this is his dream job. He got to write the script for this movie, and he basically pitched it right after he did Forgetting Sarah Marshall because he wrote the whole puppet. Musical thing because he loved the Muppets and he would have loved nothing else but to do a Muppets movie. And now he gets to write and basically direct this thing. And he is the star of this movie where, and you see the trailer, you think, oh, it's Amy Adams and it's Jason Segel and it's called Green with Envy. But then you realize at the end, once they start introducing Kermit and Miss Piggy and, all those guys.
She's getting some thank love you fans. From the
thank
from
the you fans walking by. This is a Muppets movie, and it looks like a friggin' awesome Muppets movie. Pete's looking for music. We are now close to the pants optional portion of the show. Very close to the pants optional portion.
I think it's almost always a pants.
By the way, not happy with the fact that this is week two.
Somebody's been hiding, or they got rid of the Legend of Round Valley,
which was part of our greatest moments.
Did somebody fart?
No, I did not.
No, it's just my microphone.
So, I mean...
Really, Tim, smell this.
Whoa. It smells like someone breathed, like, garlic on it. By the way...
It's like somebody rubbed their...
Whoa.
Their sack on it.
No.
Bamboo. Oh, the eagle got him! You can't... The eagle got him!
We forgot to play that before we went to the tournament results. So
it is most definitely tournament season again.
That's awesome. By the way, NorCal Regionals in 3 weeks. Milpitas.
And Revelations, the big Southern California tournament, will be...
End of June, beginning of July?
2 weeks, I think.
Okay. So because Evo, ladies and gentlemen, 7 weeks away, if you can believe that. We are 7 weeks away from the granddaddy of them all. Down there at the old Rio in Las Vegas. And Pete will be there live. I will try and be there live. I have to determine...
Gotta shoot my documentary.
Have to determine what my work schedule is going to be like. Which stinks because this, you know, I went to Evo in 08 and it was awesome. Or 07 I went. And then I couldn't go in 08 and then I couldn't go in 09 and 10 because I was in Florida. And now I'm back, and Pete's shooting this documentary, and he's going to Evo. And it's like, now, well, I have to figure out how I'm going to get down there with all this work I need to do. So, Pete right now looking.
Can I go with you guys when we go?
To Evo?
To Sam. I think you might have to go. Sam will get the Vegas experience of 8 sweaty men with the Evo funk going back to the room.
It's going
to
be a tough one.
We need to do like a 20-minute segment with Gibby on the Evo funk.
Yeah, it depends. It just depends if Sam will be coming down as a to play at the tournament or to work on the documentary.
Sam's got 2 months. Step your game up. By the way, we're close to AE being released, which is cool.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. Arcade edition.
Arcade edition. It is out right now to play in some arcades locally. The Scandi Arcade in Rona Park has it.
What? No way.
Yes, they do. Dollar a pop to go play that game. And then the
arcade. And then Brian's playing it.
And then
it's like a bucket game though. Nobody has to play.
And then San Rafael at. What's the arcade down there again, Pete, that we were just at?
Oh, Starbase. They don't have arcade.
Well, they have the tournament. They have the Wednesday night Street Fighter. I got winner. I thought they were playing AE when we were there.
It's not out.
Okay. So it didn't have AE, but.
So just a quick question. Would it be what do you find it that most people are going to download the AE edition when it comes out?
Basically, anyone who's got Super Street Fighter 4 right now is going to get AE, and everyone's going to play as Oni or Evil Ryu because they're the main draws.
No, they're not. They're not. Nobody's playing. They're going to play Yun and Yang.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The twins. Nobody. I thought only one of them was in there. I thought only Yun was in there.
No, I think they both are.
Okay. But that will be interesting because that's going to come out only about a month before Evo. And there are people who are, you know, playing right now who's their arcade set up where they just get there and they put their money in and play. And then what's his name's in Japan right now doing his training? Ryan Hart.
Yeah.
So he's got that. He's took a month over there to prepare. I think he's going to be in SBO, which is what, in 3 weeks, 4 weeks? End of June, right?
SBO is... It might be right before. I don't think it is. I don't think it's right before Evo. It might be after.
All
right. So,
well, nonetheless, fun. You know, this is tournament season, and the NorCal qualifiers for Evo down in Milpitas, 3 weeks.
We got to get some people on
from tonight. We will. We'll have to get some people to talk about that tournament, and obviously, we're going to have to just start tapping into our resources in the fighting game community because. We do know people who are well. Dogface is doing the Midwest tournaments, right? Who's running the Midwest tournaments?
Probably Keats.
Keats is running the Midwest tournaments. I think he was the guy who put the UFGT 7 together. I think that was the tournament he was talking about when we had him on a couple months back.
It might have been. I haven't been on that much.
So him and then you know. Obviously, we'll try and talk to a couple people about the tournaments coming up as we get to Evo and whether or not we'll be able to get the big gold belt down there for the overall winner. Pete, what you got there? Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Everybody needs a little bit of this.
Oh, man. Man, this is like new Marvin. This is like, unfortunately, right before his death, Marvin. This is awesome stuff right here.
It's just Marvin, and that's all we need.
I mean, it is. It's just Marvin right now. It's Marvin, baby.
That's right.
It's Marvin, baby. It's Marvin, baby. Oh, man. Oh, he's so Pringles. Where your curly mustache at? We should get Yipes on. Yipes, wake up at 2 in the morning and call into our show.
I know.
That'd be fun. So we're winding things down here. We've talked about a lot of stuff tonight. Yes. Just listen to this. Just
loving it.
It's science. Hey, anything's possible!
What do you got, Sam?
We're getting close to those words of wisdom.
I don't know. I'm just listening to this.
Sam's just feeling this
right
now.
What's going on? What's going on in that head? What would you like to share with us?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just glad that.
What have you been up to? What have you been doing?
I'm pissed off that my computer doesn't charge properly, and I'm going to have it sent in tomorrow.
Very nice. By the way, Sam has finished up his first full year of college.
Yay. Yeah,
just
throw that out there.
Fantastic.
You know it.
Man, I'm so hyped right now.
I would stay in bed.
I would be too. I would just start playing all those PlayStation 2 games. Just have the controller right there at the end of the bed. Wake up, turn the TV on, boom. Boom goes the dynamite.
Or get a job and make some money.
Yeah.
Man, I need to find a place. I mean, the Bank of Marin locally thing isn't going to be...
By the way, Bank of Marin, a sponsor of Sonoma Sun FM. No.
Go to the Cheese Factory. The Cheese Factory you're hiring.
Sam, free cheese.
Wait,
and bro? Fudge.
Yeah.
Oh, my
and
God.
And barbecue. Good stuff.
And
that
going
pasta
there,
aroma.
I'm going there tomorrow.
By the way, Memorial...
Habanero Jack.
Yes, for the win.
Pepper Jack.
Mediterranean yes. Jack.
Monterey Jack.
Garlic Jack.
Pesto Jack.
Havarti.
We have...
Fireman Jack.
Yes, Sam with the smoke... cheese. That's good Sonoma Cheese Factory knowledge right there.
Pepperato, aged Jack,
dry Jack,
sharp cheddar
Jack,
extra sharp cheddar
Jack.
No, it's not cheddar Jack.
Yes, I know.
You crazy ales.
Man, just Marvin doing it big. I mean, that's a good call right there, Pete. That's a great call. Really is. Just fantastic.
Hey, sometimes you need your sexual healing.
You do. By the way, we are 2 weeks away from the Tim Livingston birthday celebration that will take place here on Los Livingston Brothers coming week, or 2 weeks.
J.D. Parisi just texted in, Lavender Jack.
Thank you.
Ah, there we go.
Thank you for Lavender Jack, J.D. Parisi. Very nice. By the way, everyone, the unofficial start of summer tomorrow with Memorial Day. I'm sure you guys will be barbecuing. I will be working, but for those of you, have fun tomorrow with the old barbecue, grill, and whatnot. So we are running out of time.
Shall we?
If you got to.
Or should we do it next week?
No, do it right now. It's the unofficial. Dude, yes.
Okay, people.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Sam.
Words of wisdom. Watch this movie.
What's the movie? You gotta tell what the movie is.
Meatballs. Anyone that knows Bill Murray, watch this movie. Or doesn't know anything, please just watch this movie. Get out from your crazy 21st century rave parties and pop in this VHS from your closet.
Yes. Sam brings it strong. That's a good end of the show right there. So we're gonna sign off here. Good times though, very nice. Good call.
I can't wait to see Summer our puppy swim.
Veggie Jack.
Thank you.
Blue Jack? Or no, that's
we will return.
Sage.
Thank
Jack.
You. In a week, if you have any other Jack recipes,
Our Los Livingston Brothers fan page is on Facebook. You can check out loslivingstonbrothers.com. Pete had a great article a couple days ago regarding a Greg Oden contract. You guys got to read that. Until next week, we are Los Livingston Brothers. Adios. Bye-bye. Bamboo. Oh,